This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time to see what headlines are firing up black bloggers. Rapper Nas's new album is already causing a stir, not for its lyrics yet, but for its title. And a Glamour magazine staffer calls afros a fashion don't. We'll be joined by another blogger later, but right now we've got John McCann, creator of the blog Book of John. Hi, John.
What's going on, Ms. Shade?
I am doing great. Before we talk about topics, I want to ask you a little bit about what made you blog, how you started your blog, what people can expect from the Book of John.
Well, you know, in day-to-day doing journalism, you don't often get to put forth your own personal opinions. Now, granted, I do get to do that, you know, as a columnist, you get to, you know, wax about what you're thinking about particular issues, you know, that are in the news. But I wanted to come at it with a faith perspective. And, you know, even with a column, you're not always free to do that as far as, you know, granted, you can put out some of your viewpoints as far as saying, well, I'm coming from, you know, this particular angle. But as far as just really, really saying it like you want to say it, you can't always do that. So this gives me an opportunity to take it down that road.
When you write from a faith perspective, though, you are not humorless, dry. Tell us about the flavor of your blog.
Well, you know, I just try to give it to you as I am. I mean, I'm no theologian, certainly. So I just try to give it back to you the way it comes to me. And a lot of times that's, you know, in a humorous way. And, you know, just give folks a little laugh.
So when you think about, first of all, when did you start your blog?
Oh, it's been very recently. If you go to the site, it's not going to be anything extensive. In the last couple months, I can't give you an exact date, but it certainly hadn't been years. So I guess I'm a baby blogger.
What about the black blog community? We have a whole group of African-American bloggers that we rely on and talk to. And is it a situation now where you feel like you're part of a community?
I wouldn't say that. I'm not that entrenched, not that plugged in. So I can't, you know, I certainly wasn't one of the ones who can take credit for rallying the masses as far as Gina Six. So I couldn't take it that far.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the topics that are causing a stir in the blogosphere. Rapper Nas's new album drops in early December along with the N-bomb. The album title doesn't just use the N-word, it is the N-word. Now, he's gotten some support from his label, Def Jam. Is that enough to save this project from outright outrage?
Give me the question again, Ms. Farai.
Well, you know, what do you think about the fact that he has this N-word in his lyrics? And do you think do you think that the label support enough is enough?
No, it can't be, because, you know, I was under the impression that we were moving away from that. And for the label to lend that support, you know, it's the same old. And so, you know, I can't see that justifying it in the least bit, not at all.
Are you a fan?
No, I can't say so. I don't particularly follow the rap game today. I'm that old school guy who can talk to you about, you know, Run DMC and LL back in the day, those kind of guys. But as far as the new jacks, you know, that's not really my bag. You know, I certainly come across some of the music just in the course of living day to day society. You're gonna hear clips and bits and pieces, but you know, just an old school guy, it doesn't compare.
Now, Nas is this guy who's known for that song, I Can, and it's this feel-good, uplift-the-race rhyme. It features kids' voices. Is it off-base for someone to really have this positive message and then still try to go out and be shocking?
It is, because you send a mixed message, because, you know, say you had a parent who really was into the I Can and, you know, embraced it and said, hey, you know, my little son, my little daughter, you know, here's a great song that you can listen to. And, you know, hey, maybe rap's not so bad. So then when this comes out, hey, mom, dad, can I go get the new Nas? Oh, sure. You know, isn't that the guy who did I Can? And so you go pick this up and it's like, whoa, you know, it takes you back. So it's that mixed message. And particularly for a young kid, they're not going to be able to differentiate and try to separate that.
Now, there has been all this controversy over the N-word. You've had a funeral for the N-word. You've had a lot of people talking about this. Is it a generational issue?
Well, I tell you what, my dad, I'm not trying to call him out here, but, you know, he still uses the word. You know, growing up, I used to hear him using the word. I used it myself, coming up some, but it wasn't a hard thing for me to give that a funeral. It's just not part of my vocabulary now. Is it generational? It's certainly not particular to the current generation that we're in now. Do the younger folks understand the baggage associated with? Yeah, I think they do. I think it's a little naive to think that they just don't understand the history, therefore they use it. They know where it comes from. They're just not as steeped in it as folks from my parents' generation. I take that back. Maybe they do have an excuse to use it because they don't come from that civil rights era where it was just, you know, so hardcore black and white and that big divide. So I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they do have an excuse. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And, you know, the word really just doesn't have a place.
Now, John, you say that you're blogging from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
Does that at all inform how you think about the N-word?
It certainly does because, you know, as a Christian, do I have liberty to use that word? Well, sure. You know, it's not off limits. Is it necessarily what we call a traditional cuss word as far as, you know, those other kind of bombs, I guess we should say? You know, it probably wouldn't rank up there. But, you know, my belief is that, hey, you know, if it's going to offend somebody, then let's stay away from it, even though I have the liberty and the freedom to use that particular word. So, yeah, that certainly informs my decision.
Let me bring in another voice. We've got Chris Rabb of Afronetizen. How are you?
I'm good.
So what about this whole question of Nas's album and calling it the N-word? Is this just trying to, you know, light a fire under the sales figures, or does it have greater implications?
Well, it depends on the content and the purpose. I mean, it could very well be to sell albums. Nas is one of our more gifted artists. I would withhold judgment until I hear the lyrical content, because I use the word.
But in what context?
What's that?
In what context?
In Ebonics. This is part of black dialect. Now, it can be used in different ways. I've tried to minimize how I use it. I don't use it in public. I don't use it around my children. I tend not to use it as a crutch. But, a lot of the folks who claim that, you know, this should be buried and dead and so forth, I've heard them use it.
Right. So you're saying that you'll use it among friends.
I will use it among people in a intimate environment, in a trusting environment where people know my tone and my intent and what type of person I am. I'm not going to call some random person that, and I'm not going to call it in mixed company. What I mean by mixed company is I'm not going to use that word in a way that it intentionally or unintentionally offends other people. I don't use it in an intergenerational context. People older than baby boomers, I'm not going to use it. I wouldn't use it around people my grandparents' age. It is a profane word, but there is beauty in profanity. Have you ever heard of Richard Pryor? I mean, this is not about this conversation, but we need to be authentic. We need to be real. And a lot of these people who won't say the word or believe the word is filthy and so forth are the same people who revere Richard Pryor as a genius, who say it themselves behind closed doors. But the reality is they want to let people think that this is a word that can only have one meaning and cannot be appropriated by any well-meaning people. What they're more concerned about is how white people think of us using it, making them feel bad, and also knowing that it goes on internally. And that's not being authentic. That's not being real. And I don't think we're going to be taken seriously if we have this level of absolutism. I think it's wrong. I think it's dangerous.
No, well, if I can chime in, I think we can't say there's beauty in profanity. because, you know, where do you draw the line there? And I would also want to ask, you know, when you talk about using it in mixed company, not using it intergenerationally, I certainly understand the respect there, but what about interracially? You know, again, the age-old debate, can a white person be free to use the word?
Well, I mean, I have a longtime white friend, and we talk about everything, but if he ever called me that, it would be on. He does not have that liberty to call me that. And because he's my friend, he understands why he shouldn't call me that. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And so to say that, then, we can't be upset when you know, Gina 6 happens, because it's saying that Gina 6 is telling us that, hey, we must obviously live still in two separate and distinct worlds. And so don't we perpetuate that when we set up the rules for the game, whereas, you know, one group can use certain words, another group can use certain words, then we have no reason to be surprised.
Wait a minute. You're saying because some people use that word that this is the reason that Jenna happened?
I'm not saying that's the reason. I'm saying we can't be surprised when...
All right, John. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I believe that we have Patrice Yersick of Afrobella.
Yes. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Now, gentlemen, I just want Patrice to introduce us to another topic. You've got T-shirts that say happy to be nappy, but not necessarily everybody thinks that natural hair is appropriate in the workplace. Tell us about this Glamour magazine editor and the incident that happened.
Well, this happened back in August. A then Glamour editor was invited to the New York law firm Cleary, Gottlieb, Steen & Hamilton for like a do's and don'ts of corporate fashion presentation with female lawyers. And she gave a slideshow during which she described a photo of a black woman with an afro as a real no-no. And she continued to discuss a photo of dreadlocks. And I believe in the American Lawyer magazine, she was quoted as saying it was shocking that some people think it was appropriate to wear those hairstyles at the office. And she said, no offense, but those political hairstyles really have to go. So, of course.
And your blog, among many, really followed up on this. You started really questioning this. How did you react and respond, and how did your readers react and respond?
I mean, my response was it's a ridiculous statement to say something like that. And, you know, I mean, the issues of hair within the African-American and female community, it goes so deep. So to just dismiss it, for some people it might be a political thing, and for other people it's the natural texture of your hair. So how can you say that it's all a political thing? I mean, when I first wrote about it on my blog, I got 140 comments from women from all over the world, 63 comments the second time I wrote about it, you know, and the response was, should you not judge me on the capabilities I bring to the workplace rather than, you know, my physical appearance? As long as it's professional and neat and not completely over the top, then you should be accepted for the quality of your work.
Let me get John in here. You have colleges from Morehouse to Hampton putting historically black colleges and universities saying that hair is a part of how they consider the dress code. Is that any different from this?
Well, you know, one of the things that always intrigued me about this discussion is that, you know, this tends to focus on women. But I've always been curious as to what it means about young men, young black men, as far as braids and cornrows and corporate America. And I wonder if there is a place for that, and you know, how accepted those individuals would be.
Right.
What do you think, Chris?
Well, my wife has dreadlocks, and she's a law professor, and she's we talk about hair quite a lot. This is one of her fields of inquiry, and I think there's a lot of internalized racism. I think there are a lot of people who believe on white people's behalf that it is socially unacceptable and it's unprofessional, although I haven't seen any studies that have documented that where women with mainstream natural hairstyles have been punished for them or it's been a major topic. I think it's relatively consistent in mainstream organizations where that's socially acceptable.
All right, Chris, John, Patrice, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.